Morning, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17 this morning, please. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to read verses 1 through 3 this morning in 1 Samuel 17. I apologize in advance for my pronunciations of these words in verse number 1. And if you laugh at me, I'm going to have you come up and read verse 1. So, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 through 3 this morning. As you're finding your place, please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God, if you're able. And if you're not, please stay seated. But if you're able, stand to your feet as we read the Word of God together this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shocho, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shocho and Azekah in Elphenes Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this wonderful place. I had the opportunity to stand there, Lord, and see it. It was wonderful. But Father, we can go there anytime we want through your Word. Thank you for the Word of God you've given us to be able to get what we need. Use our pastor this morning to help us, preach to us. Help us to be better for being here this morning. God bless the preaching of the word. Father, if there's somebody here this morning on the internet that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray they'd settle it this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
That you sit, listen very carefully, please. We just read three verses here out of this account in the Bible. Hey, account, not story. The account of David and Goliath. The account of a teenage boy who takes on a near 10-foot tall, trained, killing giant. We know what the Bible says. David won. Goliath was defeated. A teenage boy with a pocket full of rocks, who really all he really knew was shepherding. That was it, taking care of sheep. Stands in this valley and fights this giant. Brother Evans was talking about it in his prayer a moment ago. That's the valley of Elah. We were there one day. That little creek bed that you see there in the center, it's the only creek bed in that little valley. David went down to that little creek bed and picked up 5 smooth stones and put it in a pouch. And he defied a 9'6" trained killing giant, covered in 125 pounds of brass armor, had a spear the size of a weaver's beam. The head of the spear weighed 15 pounds. There's Goliath standing there on one side of this valley of Elah, defying the armies of Israel and God, saying, give me a man to fight. Did it 40 days in a row. 40 days he stood out there and said, come on, you guys send your man to fight me. I'll fight him, and the winner wins the battle. As we came to this valley of Elah, go to the next picture if you would. One more. Yeah. Keep going. Brother Emmons was taking the picture, so I was going to hit him with a rock and see if I could knock him down. I missed. One more. This valley, this is the valley. This is the north side of the valley. Obviously, they didn't have the street lights when Goliath was there. But you'll see it's a little flat area here in the bottom. That creek bed is over here on this side. Goliath and his armies were on this side of the valley. Israel and their armies were on that side of the valley. It's a small valley. Go one more picture and see if I get a better look at it. Is that it? Okay, back it up then, please. It was nighttime. You could see, I was stood up on one side of that valley and looked across. It's very small, actually. But a guy with 125 pounds of brass armor standing there on the side of this valley, you could see him real clearly. For 40 days, he challenged Israel to come and fight him. And for 40 days, God's people cowered in the bushes, scared to death. Now, one more time, you wouldn't have gone either. And then a boy shows up, a teenage boy. And he takes the challenge. In our Bibles here, this account of David and Goliath, I stopped reading at verse number 3 because as I was reading this again the other day, I noticed it said verse 3. Look in your Bibles. And the Philistine stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And this last statement of verse 3 just caught my mind. It says, and there was a valley between them. You know, valleys in the Bible, they represent something. They represent difficulties, difficult times. I read my Bible once a year. I read it through chronologically. I read it through other times than that, but chronologically, you know, the order of the time the books were given. I don't know if it's accurate or not, but I like the concept. The guy that I'm reading the chronological Bible through at this time put Psalm 23 at the end of the contest with David and Goliath. So he's walking around, it says in the end of chapter 17, this teenage boy is walking around with the severed head of a giant in his hand and saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I bet Goliath cast a pretty good shadow at 9'6" and 125 pounds of armor. And David, God gave him the 23rd Psalm right after killing this giant. But first, there was a valley between them. Valleys represent difficulties, hardships. Valleys represent opposition in life. Valleys represent things in our life. Hey, let's put it simply, low points. And between the enemy on one side and the people of God on the other side, there was a valley. Between a giant that seemed insurmountable to everyone, trained killer from the time of his youth, challenging one man of Israel, not the whole army, just one man. There's an insurmountable obstacle on one side and a valley between him and the boy that would take the challenge. Oh, on one side of the valley, the potential of defeat. On the other side of the valley, the potential for victory. But between all those things, there was this valley. Go ahead and turn it off, please, if you would, fellas. May I ask you a question this morning? Are you in a valley today? A place of difficulty, a place of battle, a struggle, opposition to you. Having some tough times. And there was a valley between them, the Bible says. You have to understand something about this valley that's between the enemies and of God and the people of God. Between the giant and the boy. Between defeat and victory. This valley here. God made that valley. So are you trying to tell me, Pastor Johnson, that God makes the valley of opposition, difficulty, trials, testings, hard times in the life of a Christian? Yes. Sometimes it's God's plan that you and I have to go through this valley of opposition. Sometimes. Sometimes, look here. Sometimes it's God's plan that you have hard times. Sometimes that's part of the program. Just as much as God made this valley, God made that valley, if that's where you are today. God made that. Now, I understand we create some of our own problems and our own difficulties. And all of our troubles are God-made. Some of them are man-made, and most of them, quite frankly, are man-made. But sometimes God's design is that we have some of these struggles and battles or loss or opposition or difficulty. So that means this, and this is going to be hard for us to accept this morning, but it's true. It means we need the valley. We need it. And there was a valley between them. Well, Pastor Johnson, why do we need to have this? Well, first of all, you know, if you've got the enemy over here and God's people over here, there should be something between them. There should be a distinction, a difference. Hey, both of them are going to go down into this valley. Hey, the enemy is going to go down in that valley, and the people of God are going to the valley. And you know what? Sometimes you and God's people are going to go through hard times. So does the world. Hey, it's not any easier for them out there than it is for you. But this valley that separated God's people and the people of that weren't people of God, the heathen, if you want to call them, that valley, there needed to be a valley there. There needs to be a distinction between God's people and the people of this world today. When they go through their difficulties and we go through ours, there should be a distinction there. Their difficulty and how they handle it and the way they go through it, those difficulties, there should be a distinction there. There should be something different about the way we handle our problems and the way they handle their problems. God's people shouldn't run around like chickens in a storm. God's people shouldn't be frustrated, aggravated, let down, unhappy, having difficulties, and it seems like they have no help, no hope, and no chance in life. That's not us. That's not God's people. So, well, if he was that good of God, then God's people shouldn't have trouble. Well, wake up and get some reality pills. You're kidding me. Why shouldn't we have problems in our lives? It's just part of the program, people. But now listen, there was a valley between those enemies over there and the people of God over here. There was a valley that separated them, and those enemies, they're going to run down in that valley, and they're going to have their battles and fights. And the world does too. Don't ever think for a moment, well, if I, you know what, why live the Christian life? I had problems, and I just quit living the Christian life. Why? So you could go to the world, and it was easier for you out there. The world treated you better. You got better from the devil than you did from God. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. And we need this valley. You'll learn things in the valley you won't learn anywhere else. Why do you think, and I think it's accurate, why do you think God gave David the 23rd Psalm after he kills Goliath? Because he's a shepherd now, shepherd boy, who has, by the way, just prior to this, been anointed king of Israel. He won't be king for 30 years yet. 13 years, excuse me. He won't be king for 13 years. But now look here. He's learned something in the valley with this giant. He's been used to see victory. He goes in the valley, a shepherd boy. He comes out a shepherd king and a soldier. Now his life is different. You know, David needed that valley. So do you. We need this valley. Also, this about the valley this morning, please. Don't fear it. All of Israel feared Goliath and the Philistines, especially Goliath. As you read on down into chapter 17, you'll see that the Israelites and the Philistines were kind of getting in little side skirmishes down in this valley, which is good evidence of the fact that some people would rather fight the little battles than fight the big ones. The challenge was Goliath. It wasn't the rest of the Philistines. But when they heard that man step out there at almost 10 feet tall saying, "Give him in!" They ran and hid the bushes. They wanted no part of it whatsoever. They were scared to death to go down and face this giant. Don't fear the valley. You know why? Because there's victories in those valleys. Those valleys that God puts you in and that you must go through sometimes in your life, you'll never go down there by yourself. Remember what happened? Goliath steps out. David steps out to fight him. And Goliath says, "Is it this the kid? You're going to send me this boy?" He called him a stripling, which means a little skinny tree. Can't you visualize David? Little skinny, pimple-faced, little shepherd kid. And Goliath looms over him and says, "This is the one. This is who you send me to. This is who you people are going to send me to fight me. You're going to send me this kid." And he says, "Come here, boy. I'm going to make you buzzard bait." This is my own interpretation. Just stay with me on it. "I'm going to feed you to the buzzards. I'm going to kill you and make you. I'm going to kill you so fast it's not even going to be funny. Come and get me. Come on, son." And David says, "Sir, you come to me in the name of your God. I come to you in the name of the God of heaven. And I'm going to show you today that God is on our side of this thing." And David goes down into that valley. He wasn't bragging. He wasn't a punk teenager shooting his mouth off. David goes down in the valley believing honestly that he knew that the God of heaven could help him do this. And while everybody else is fearful in the mountains of Israel over there, hiding among the people of God, there's this boy who steps up and says, "You know what? If that's what I need to do, I need to go in this valley and take on that giant." He did not fear the valley and he did not fear the giant, because he had confidence that God could help him. Where is your faith? Something happens and all of a sudden people, Christians, sometimes they act like there's no God. Well, yeah, I mean, I believe in God, but you have to understand, whoa, stop a moment. Isn't that, look here, isn't it enough to know you'll never walk a valley as a child of God by yourself. Never. And that he'll walk with you through this valley. And if you have to face a great obstacle, a Goliath-type obstacle, where it seems like there's no hope, no help, and you have no chance, you're not going to face that kind of thing alone. You will not do it. We don't need to fear the valley. God's going to help us there. God will be on our side there. God will go down in the valley with us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, David said, for thou art with me. Yeah, that's how you face this valley that's between those guys over there and God's people over here and defeat over there and victory here. The difference is down there in that valley. Accept the challenge of the valley. It's a challenging thing, isn't it? Goliath didn't step out one day and say, how about a fight, and then walked away. For 40 days he stood there. 40 days. Twice a day he did it, morning and evening. So 80 times he challenged the people of Israel. Give me a man to fight with me. That's where he started. When he got done, he was cussing them and God and everybody else. Kind of get an idea, we're being challenged a little bit today about what we are and what we believe. You get that idea? Huh? You sort of get the concept, young person? You get the concept that this world is opposing us in what we are. You got that, mom and dad? The world is not on our side about this thing. Well, I know Christians, and they seem to get along just fine. Not anybody who lives right. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Listen, this world today is not going to love us. They're not going to throw their arms open and just welcome us and our biblical belief and all that it says and does. But you know something, ladies and gentlemen? The truth is, God's people need to accept the challenge of the valley. You know, Goliath stepped up and said, give me a man. There should have been man after man after man willing to say, give me a chance. Let me go at him. God will help us. But no one would except a boy who was willing to accept the challenge. And listen to me carefully. David heard it one time and stepped up. His dad sent him with bread and cheeses for the captain and his brothers who were out. He had three older brothers in that standing over there on the side of the valley of Elah. Three older brothers. Like most older brothers. And David was the youngest one. And David shows up and said, I have bread and cheese. What's that? They said, oh, it's Goliath. Well, he's talking about God. Oh, go on back and take care of the sheep, kid. You just come out here to see what's going on. No. By the way, from where David lived to Elah is 80 miles travel. He didn't do it in a car. So he had to hoof it to get down there. That means on his feet. He had to get down there on his feet. He walked 80 miles to get to this thing. Shows up, and for however many days it took him to get there, these men keep hearing this challenge, and his brothers now mock him and say, you're just here to see what's going on. And David says, no, is there not a cause? He heard one challenge and stepped up. Most Christians today, be honest with you, they back down when they're challenged about their faith. They back down. Now, I do not believe we need to be rude or unkind. I don't think we need to take our Bible, start beating them over the head with it or anything like that. Those are a few people I wouldn't have mind hit with my Bible a couple times. Unbelievable. Some people today, they're way past just opposing the Word of God. They're rude. And they're even vulgar about it. It's very difficult to keep a good spirit about it. I don't. I try, but I just don't. I don't. That kid, I was going in the mall one day, and there were these kids hanging out at the mall. And there's this one kid, pants pulled down, hat pulled sideways. Even a duck knows this way the bill's supposed to go. And I just took out a track as I passed him. I said, hey, buddy, I'd like to leave you a track. No, man. I said, why not? And he goes, boring. Church is boring. I said, well, what are you doing here? I was hanging with my peas, man. I said, well, I don't mean to take you from your exciting life while you lean up against the wall picking fuzz out your belly button so you can knit a sweater for your grandma. But I'd still like to. He never came. I don't understand. Anyway, Some people, it's amazing to me. They, and you're going to back down from stuff like that? I don't get it. Well, you church people. Well, excuse me and your exciting life. I don't get this. Hey, you accept the challenge in the valley. Now, again, don't do what I did. Just do something different. But the truth of the matter is, I'm on an airplane. Someone will see me reading my Bible. I've had people, you know, go, yeah, well, yeah. The bet, you want privacy and quiet on an airplane, open your Bible. They'll leave you alone. They'll just look down at that Bible and go, uh-oh. Put on the earphones, they're done. You know, the truth is, this world is challenging us down there. They're challenging us to come down in that valley. Come on down here and see if what you have is really real in your life. See, that's the problem with too many Christians who have something that's not real. You can't take on a challenge if you're, look at me, you can't take on a challenge if David knew he could take on the giant because he'd killed a lion and a bear and he had confidence in God. Our confidence is not in ourselves, our personality, and that sort of stuff. Our confidence is in him. Do you take the challenge from this valley? There's a valley between this. There is a valley between victory and defeat. You and I need to take on the challenge of seeing. The devil's begging us to come on, try that. Go to work and act like you really believe in God. Go to work and act like you really believe in Christ. Go to work and just go on, try it, see what it's like sometimes. Go to school and act like you're a Christian. Go out in the community and act like you're a child of God. Come on! Well, without being unkind or rude about it, how about it? How about letting the redeemed of the Lord say so? Goliath looked like an insurmountable obstacle, but the potential for defeat was certainly there, and so was failure. Yeah, but see, David won. Figure it out, Christian. You heard me talk about working when I was in Bible college. Last time I worked was in Bible college. You hear me talk about working in Bible college in a lunch meat factory. All right, church, what's the rule on lunch meat? Don't eat packaged lunch meat. Don't do it. I'm just trying to keep you alive. Don't do it. We made that stuff. Don't eat packaged lunch meat. Now, if you go in a deli and they pick up a chunk of meat and they slice it off, you can eat that. But the packaged stuff, uh-uh. Trust me. Don't eat packaged lunch meat. When I worked in this lunch meat factory in South Chicago, they ain't putting prime rib in there, okay? Let's just be clear about something. And those chickens look like they're prehistoric. They're so big. And everything's in that bag. They take the chicken, they pull the feathers and the feet and the head off of it. And then they grind the whole thing up, guts, bones, everything else, and make lunch meat out of it. Chicken lunch meat. All chicken. It's truth in advertising. Everything but the clucks in that bag. And I started working in a lunch meat factory. See, what, you eat hot dogs? Yeah, we didn't make those. Thank God. I can still eat hot dogs. See, it's no better. Shut up. Leave me alone. I'm happy. Ignorance is bliss. I saw a bumper sticker the other day. It said, ignorance is bliss. Why aren't there more happy people? Perfect. I got to get that bumper sticker. That is perfect. I started working in this factory. I couldn't find any Christians in the place. And they started making fun of me when they found out I went to Bible college, calling me the preacher. Watch out, here comes the preacher. And they laughed at me. They mocked me. Now, I could take a little ribbon. I'm okay with that. Now, if they get a little personal and start cussing God, we ain't going to have that. And the truth is, people, look at me. The truth is, all I tried to do was just do my job and do what was right and live the way I was supposed to. And God allowed me to begin to lead some of these people to Christ. My point is, are you willing to accept the challenge of that valley? Or have you already decided, you know, look here, hey, your Christianity is right here in this building. When you leave here, you get in the car and go out of this place, you basically leave it in the parking lot. How are we supposed to help this world? How are we supposed to reach this world if we're not salt and light? David hears one challenge and he takes on this giant. Accept the challenge. Then do this with your valley. Don't stay in the valley. Later on in this chapter, it'll tell us after David, he wins. He takes his pocket full of rocks. Out of that little stream right there. Pocket full of rocks, runs down. And the Bible said he runs at the giant. Runs at him. Doesn't sneak around the bushes throwing rocks over the limbs. He runs at the giant. He runs right up to Goliath where he's got one rock, one throw. That's it. He's got one shot. Just one. And hits that giant right between the eyes and down he goes, but it doesn't kill him. Then the Bible tells us he runs and jumps on top of the giant, realizes he doesn't have anything to finish him with, pulls the giant's sword out of his own sheath and pops his head off. Then the Bible tells us that David took the head of that giant and his armor. He took the armor off of him. So he's got a giant's head, 125 pounds of armor, and he keeps his sword. How do you haul that stuff around? I have no idea. But it tells us that he took Goliath's armor and he put it in Jerusalem. That's 60 miles away. Keeps the giant's head, holds on to the sword, he puts it in another place. You'll find that later on down the road. And David went down in the valley, saw a victory, but he didn't stay in that valley. The truth of the matter is, dear people, those things about the valleys of our lives, there are times we go in the valley. There's times we go through the valley. There's times we are in the valley and it seems like an interminable amount of time. That means a long time. An interminable amount of time. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, God's people shouldn't be staying in the valley of life. Well, it's just like hard times all the time, always. No, no, no. No. No, our life is not all difficulties. Our life is not all difficulties. Stay awake now, I'm almost done. Our life is not all hardship. It's not all battles, friend. It's not all troubles. Hey, there's a lot of good in that stuff in there. You know that? But I found something out. David didn't stay in that valley. After he won the victory and God used him to win the victory, David got up out of that valley and went on with his life. Now, that's what you should be doing. See, those valleys then become trophies. This is what God brought me through. Because then you'll find later on, no further than the next chapter in the Bible, they're in another valley. And he'll have another one after that. And there'll be another one after that. You say, well, you're not encouraging me, Pastor Johnson. No, I am, because here's why. The God who brought the valley victory with David and through David and Goliath brought the victory in the next one, which then brought the victory in the next one, which then brought the victory in the next one. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, the truth is we may not look ahead and enjoy the fact that there are more valleys in life, but there will be. But that's okay, because there's a God for another valley, for another victory. So God comes through, hey? If your life is nothing but sorrow and sadness and trouble and difficulty, you need to check something out. Something's not right. We go in a valley, then we come through it. And that's why David would say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He didn't say in there. He said through it. He had full confidence God could bring him through it. Do you? If you got in the mully grubs so bad, say, what's the mully grubs? I have no idea. It doesn't sound good, though. You get a bottom lip hangout so bad you're picking up carpet fuzz. You know what I'm talking about? You got a face so long you eat oats out of a gas tank. I mean, folks, listen to me carefully. That's not our life. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Yes, there are trials in the valley. Yes, there's battles in those valleys, but God brings us out of that. And there was a valley. God's people on one side, the enemy on the other side, but there was a valley in between them. So when your valley comes, is God sufficient to bring you out of that? I'd say so. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, David said. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's walking around with a severed giant head in his hand, quoting how great a God and great a shepherd he had for his God. Do you know him? Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.